Well, friends, Philip Yancey, at the start of his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, retells a story he told in a former book about a prostitute. It's a true story which continues to haunt him. It reads, and I quote, "A prostitute came to me in wretched straits, homeless, sick, unable to buy food for her two-year-old daughter. Though through sobs and tears she told me she had been renting out her daughter, 2 years old, to men interested in kinky sex. She made more money renting out her daughter for an hour than she could earn on her own in a night. She had to do it, she said, to support her own drug habit. I could hardly bear hearing her sordid story. For one thing," Yancey went on, "it made me legally liable. I'm required to report cases of child abuse. I had no idea what to say to this woman. At last, I asked if she had ever thought of going to a church for help. I will never forget the look of her pure, naive shock that crossed her face. 'Church,' she cried. 'Why would I ever go there? I'm already feeling terrible about myself. They just make me feel worse.'" End of quotation. The church today is so different from Jesus himself. What struck Yancey about this story was that women, like this prostitute in Christ's day, fled towards Jesus, not away from Jesus. The worse a person felt about themselves, the more likely they saw Jesus as a refuge. So has the church lost something? Why is there so much disparity between the followers of Jesus today and Jesus himself? The amazing difference between the two is that Jesus invited the worst of mankind to come to him for help. "Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden." Jesus invites the vulnerable, the damaged, the losers, as well as the most wicked and evil in society, to come to him. While today, the image the public have of Christians and the church is completely different, as Yancey's story confirms. The identity of the church has changed over the years because the followers of Jesus have not followed Jesus' teaching and example. When Jesus said his mission in the world was, "I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly," he was defining the ministries which believers should have in the world. "I'm here for other people. He has come that we might enjoy life here on earth now, as well as in the new heavens and the new earth." Jesus came to serve others. He came for the vulnerable, the struggling, in order that they might find salvation and peace, redemption and mercy, forgiveness and life, good life that will never end. People gravitated toward Jesus, but then he invited them to come to him. He is so different from us. He encouraged people with problems, to come to him. "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink his fill." We read that great crowds came to him, bringing with them who? The lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they put them at his feet, and he healed them all. Matthew 15:30. On hearing of ill people who were unable to come to him, such as Jairus' daughter or the centurion servant who was ill, he immediately says, "I will come and help him. I'll come and heal him." He went to anyone who had the least desire to meet him and to receive from what he had to give. When the disciples had little time for the children that were coming around his teaching and get involved in what he was doing, he stopped the disciples from forbidding them. He said, let the children come, children. Jesus' heart was full of compassion for people. He understood their dilemma and wanted to help them all, whether they were believers or not. He went out of his way to help them all, no conditions attached. Some churches, when inviting people to a meal or an event, make it a condition, you must stay for the message. But Jesus was different. He was satisfied and happy just to heal and to help anyone in trouble. Jesus did not even demand a thank you, as the 9 healed lepers proved. Jesus was certainly disappointed as well as surprised that only one had returned to acknowledge their healing. And that one was not an Israelite. He wasn't the one in the church, but a Samaritan. All races were welcome to draw from Christ's storehouse of blessings. Even temporal blessings, people were welcome to come for that. The qualification for healing and salvation was not only an earnest, desperate plea from a frantic sufferer. Jesus' heart went out to anyone in need. No matter their creed, their colour, or their status in life, Jesus had sympathy for the brokenhearted, for the needy, for the hurting, for the wounded, for the worried. Oh, what a heart Jesus had for suffering people in need. What joy and blessing he brought to that widow he just happened to meet in the road, who had never asked for anything, despite her broken world and having lost her only son who had died, the breadwinner. And what an amazing, unplanned, unrequested experience she had. What made Jesus do such a wonderful thing as raising her son from the dead? What made him do it? Was it to display his almighty power to the unbelieving people around him? Was it to reveal that he was the real Messiah that was to come? No, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible tells us that it was his compassion for the hurting. We read that when Jesus saw her, he had compassion on her. And he said to her, do not weep. And then he came and he touched the bier, and her dead son rose up and started speaking. Jesus was available and accessible every hour of every day. Available for people of all kinds. In fact, the more vulnerable and uninviting a person was, the more interested Jesus was in them. No ulterior motives, only to be a blessing to everyone he met. That was Jesus Christ. That is why people gravitated toward him. And might the reason be why the church has lost its credibility among the public today be that we do not have the same heart that Jesus had for people who suffer. Might it be that the vast majority of Christians today live in complete contrast to how Jesus Christ lived? We too often avoid engagement with the vulnerable, the poor, the needy, the unfortunate. Jesus was so different. If we, his followers, have tasted the Lord's forgiveness and mercy, we ought to be more engaged in prayer, that we would have more of Christ's spirit and Christ's love and Christ's compassion for others. If we, his followers, have tasted of his grace, we ought to strive harder at being more available and more accessible to the needs of other people. Perhaps then we might have more of the public coming in to see what's happening and going on in our churches. Well, may God bless these thoughts to us.